What is going on, you guys? It's your boy Silos. Before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to remind you guys, definitely go check us out on Instagram, on the Real Talk Podcast with Silos. That is where we have our live streams for today's episode of the podcast on Power. So go on there, following everybody. You could look at us live, or you could just check us out here and listen to us while you're at work. All right, before we get into this week's episode, here's a quick ad for Anchor. Without further ado, hope you guys enjoy. Peace.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back, finally, to the Real Talk with Silos podcast, the great power talk, where we sit down here and we talk about all the great power. And now we can say Power Universe. Because I don't know about you, but if you saw that commercial, I was like, hold up, they need to give 50 either a Marvel or a DC movie. Honestly, give him a DC movie. You know, he can't ruin it. DC already did that themselves. And I'm a DC lover, as you can see. But before we get into anything, I need to introduce my brother. And, you know, I had to sit down here and think about this intro because this dude right here, and no, he's not 15 years old. This man is older than I am. This guy has been in Power's term. He may not like this, but I'm gonna put him into this bubble. To me, in my life, he has been my Kanan, but also my Sean. You put those two together, because not only has he been a mentor to me, he has also taught me the game of life and how to move forward and to do, you know, how to survive. So without further ado, man, I got to introduce Mr. AJ. This is him right here. Round of applause, everybody.
What up? What up?
Man.
Hey, I'll take that comparison. I don't care. I'll take that. Oh,
yo, I really sat there. I thought hard and I was like, yo, that's you. But man, let's jump in, because there's a lot I want to say, man. There's a lot I want to say, but I got to hear from you. We haven't sat down and talked, and usually we are like, you know, it's the first thing we want to do after we're done seeing the episode. I actually saw it twice already. I saw it last night, and I saw it this morning. For those of you who don't know, if you have Stars, the app, you actually are able to see it at midnight, you know, Saturday. You don't have to wait till 8 o'clock. So, and then, you know, you've had the Power Marathon all weekend on Stars. Literally, it's just each season all the way down to the countdown, you know, man. Before we get started, I do want to say, like, we need to give 50 his roses. Like, I don't understand, like, how has this been the best kept secret in, like, he has been forever, like, no one has talked about him, about all this.
You know what? I actually have an opinion on that, and I would think most people would agree. Remember, 50 rubs a lot of people the wrong way because he's unfiltered. So if he doesn't care if you're a man, woman, child, like he will go after you. And in the age where we live in now, where everybody wants you to walk on eggshells and everybody's sensitive, he's just not that guy. So if he doesn't like something, he's just going to tell you, like, yo, I don't like you. And he's just going to tell you like it is. So, you know, people find him sexist. People find him, you know, homophobic. It's a lot of things. But the thing is about 50 is, number one, you can't disagree that I feel like he's a creative genius.
Oh, he is. Amen.
You know, you don't have
to. And in writing, too. And in writing too.
Well, that I was actually about to say that, because remember, you don't have to be the writer to be a creative genius. You could just be the catalyst for, you know, picking the right writing team. It doesn't matter that you can write or not. If you could pick the right team to do it, it doesn't matter. You think the guy that invented Ford, that invented four cars, you think he built all those cars? No, he had to get an engineer. He had to get, you know, physicists. He had to get mathematicians to make sure he had everything he was able to assemble. So my point is, you know, 50 knows how to put the pieces together. And I mean, he had to have something to do with the casting, because I know we're kind of getting into it a little bit, but I think the casting is fantastic.
Amazing.
And it's been like that for all of his shows. So, but yeah, 50 doesn't get his roses, which is unfortunate because I feel like people like Amari Chadwick should have gotten a nod on a nomination. I think that he's really a good actor, and you know, but
how about Tommy? So when you talk to him, he's totally like his accent is totally different. Like he's a totally different person.
Yeah, he's from Chicago, so like he has more like a Mideast or Midwest, however you want to categorize Illinois, but he has that type of accent. You can hear it, and it's way different from a New York accent. But yeah, he's another one. You know, I think he does, especially this season where he killed Holly. Like, was fantastic that whole season. Like, just didn't know what he was going to do next. Like, he was manic.
So watching the marathon before the new show came out, watching that last episode again where he's with, and her name always escapes my mind, he's with the daughter of Proctor in the car. And he's driving. Then he's like midway through, he pulls over into Elizabeth, I think. Anna, Mary, something like that. Mary Ann Elise or something like that. But he's driving and he pulls in front of the daughter's aunt's house and is like, "Get out! I need to go save my brother." Even in that time of all the betrayal that Ghost has done for Tommy, he still decides, he's my brother. I need to be there for him because he's always been there for me, even when we've been at each other's neck. To me, it's just like, it was a reminder of just like, man, you can literally go everywhere. And now we're going to get into the nitty gritty, what we came here to talk about. All right. We came here to talk about Mr. Raising Kanan. All right. And first of all, I want you to kind of, because you know the actor who plays young Kanan, right?
Yeah, so, you know, I remember him as a kid. You know, good kid, very talented drummer. I mean, he's really talented as an actor. This is really my first time seeing him actually act. And I don't want to sit up here like, oh, I know him. It's, because, you know, a lot of people do that. But, you know, I know his family and everything else. But you know, he's talented. He's very talented. Tonight, actually, after seeing the episode, I really realized how actually good of an actor he is. And it made me sit there and be like, wow, this kid is very talented. And I thought that he did a really, really good job. It was a bunch of things that I noticed.
Did you get the vibe of how like he played the pre-Kanan role so well? Because there was instances where he gave you this look on the camera when you're like, holy shit, that's actually 50 looking at me right now.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I think that, you know, however they went about him, because, you know, actors have to go through a process where they're practicing and they're around the person that they're going to be acting like. So I think that he got a lot of the mannerisms down. Even down to the way he talks, you know, 50 talks with his teeth together, kind of. So it's like he really like embraced that, you know. And I thought he did a fantastic job as Kanan, because I believed it was a little 50. I mean, even down to, I was laughing because I'm like, yo, they actually kind of had the same shaped head too. Like, you
know, no, like, hold on, like, wait. Can we just talk about how he roasted him though in the beginning when he's talking about? Talking to the girl,
look at him.
He don't even know how to say his name.
Yeah, it was funny, man. But I thought, I saw his introduction. His name is Makai Curtis. He did a fantastic job playing 50, yo. Like, he just, you know, Jersey stand up. I'm going to shout him out for Jersey for sure. But, he had other roles. I know he did Kirby Buckets on Disney for a few seasons.
Where I've seen him at. I was like, I've seen him before, yo.
In Kirby Buckets. So he did that gig for a little bit. And, you know, like small roles here and there too. He actually has a little brother that acts also, that's actually his little brother. I think we may see him in the future. I thought he actually did pretty, Meek Mill had a movie on HBO that came out sometime last year. I cannot remember the name of the movie. It was a pretty good movie. But his little brother acts also really good, very talented family. The family is talented, but I thought Mekhi Curtis, the actor, I think that he did a really good job making us believe, because that was the most important part. I think the most important part of tonight's episode was that we believed he was 50.
Yeah,
he was little Kanan. We had to believe that, and I think he did a good job doing
that. And honestly, I wanna give roses to little Kanan, because man, when he went out there to the park, and I know we jumping around a lot, but when he went out there with the park, you know, with that sock and started whooping on them kids, I was like, yeah, that's 50 right there. That's 50. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I know we're getting really, like you said, nitty gritty. My takeaway from it was this: the very first episode. I thought that it wasn't the bang bang type of episode one, like normal power episodes have been, depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because for me, I loved it. I loved the episode. A lot of people wanted, like, you know, something like outrageous, but it's like, yo, if you actually are paying attention to what kind of show they're setting this up to be, remember, this is Kanan's upbringing, number one, and this is his coming of age. So, you know, I thought they did a great job. I mean, we saw him kill somebody, you know what I mean, for the first time. And not that he killed somebody and just stared at him like, yeah, he killed somebody and he was really like coming to grips with it.
That's the first time we saw Kanan shook. Yeah,
exactly.
Ever.
Shook.
And
exactly.
That's to me is big.
Exactly. That's my point exactly, is that I'm glad that the writers didn't, you know, I think they did a good job of making us realize, yo, he's a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and but he's a product of what his environment is.
Yes.
He doesn't want to go to school. He wants to be around his mom, protect his mom, and know the drug game, you know? But at the same time, he's learning, you know, about the drug. He's learning the code. He's learning, you know, the you know, that, yo, you could easily mess up because he killed that kid on
the
block.
Didn't even ask questions. Yeah.
Didn't even ask questions. So, but... you know, I personally thought the episode was great, but aside from all that, my biggest takeaway from that episode wasn't like, oh, I'm hyped, because I am hyped.
Yeah.
It wasn't the writing. Oh my God. My biggest takeaway, and I'm trying so hard not to backtrack to other powers.
Oh, okay. Like, no, because you might be hitting what I was going to.
Because I feel like it's important that we embrace this book, like, for what it is, without looking to the past, without looking to what we've seen already. This is a prequel.
Yeah.
But Kanan and Tariq's relationship makes 100% sense. Like, it makes 100% sense. Because for me, even though I was like, all right, like, even though it made sense in power, but it was more on Tariq's side. Like, Tariq needs a dad, a father figure, because his dad won't teach him the drug game, you know. But we realized after this episode, Kanan saw himself in Tariq, a kid who's super smart, that, you know, that wants to be in the streets, but parents don't want him to be in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, that's Tariq, you know. And then, yo, like, he wants to protect his mom. That's also Tariq. So I feel like now from Kanan's perspective, I completely understand the relationship between him and Tariq.
Now to that though, real quick, I do want to touch on that a little bit. I feel like, so my take on it, I agree with you 100%. But what I also thought about was that he finally saw the vision that his mother had for him. Because, bro, his mom, she is a thug. Like, she is the bad, one of the baddest female characters I've seen so far in Power. And that it's pretty high. But she is just like, she don't care. you know, down to the dog in the microwave. That made me feel some type of way when I saw that, yo.
When I saw that, I don't think I've ever seen that on television. Yo. I was trying to think if I seen a movie or a television show that they put the dog in a microwave. I don't think I ever seen that. And if anybody knows of one, let me know so I can see the scene. But I never seen that before. That was different.
Yes. Ditto on that.
Yeah, that was different.
But like, so I saw the vision of Kanan. Yes, he wanted, in a sense, he was teaching Tariq the game, but he also saw how big of an opportunity the game has become. So that's why he taught Tariq what he taught him, but he still told him, you need to go to school. You need to get out of here. Like, it's bigger than just here.
He reiterated a lot of things that his mom and his uncles were trying to tell him, you know, growing up. I think that, again, this is, and it's not to get into social issues, but when you're a product of your environment, like, that's a real thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not thinking about school. You're not thinking about, and I can't say this from experience because I had a very different life than people in my race, you know, have. You know, I'm in the minority, you know what I'm saying? So in my, you know, race of people, but, you know, so I can't say I relate to that, but I understand that concept of being a product of your environment. There's people that I know that live in the hood and whatnot, but they're not of the hood, you know, like they have dreams, they work hard, you know, but they just, they're there because that's what they've known their entire life. They want to get out, but that's what they've known their entire life. They make decisions, you know, probably different than somebody like me who had, you know, more of a suburban upbringing. I think that Kanan is an interesting character because it's not just that he wants the drug game. It's not just that he's smart and he doesn't have to, but you're seeing it. We're seeing the mother-son dynamic again. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing it again. And it's like, I think it is different. It's not clumsy. I think if it was a dad-son relationship type thing, I think it'd been a little clumsy, you know, like, you know, all right, the dad does it, so now the son wants to do it. Okay. But the mom doesn't want her son to do it. The mom wants him to get his education, everything else. But now that he's crossed that line that he can't turn back from, he shot a rival and essentially started a war, which it looks like that's what it's going toward. Now he's in it.
Where I agree with you on that, I kind of see also he saw, because now the dad, in a sense, he talks, it's mainly like the boyfriend, right? That's who pretty much helped his mom raise him, in a sense, before he died in a year. Yeah. That's the one that they kind of started the drug game together and all that. Yeah. We're going to dive right into it real quick. But so like with that, I feel like there's more of like a, because even when he was narrating, he was like, I respected him because I liked him because he always treated my mom well. So I was like, I feel like with that sense, like he also kind of like not looked up to him, but I don't want to say wanted to be him, but he almost like he understood. So, you know, that whole dynamic, man, just him and his mom, it's just crazy, man.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's like, yo, you got to learn a lot of this stuff in your household is learned behavior. Like, you know, you had your father in your house. I had my father in my house.
Yeah.
You know, the way that our fathers treated our mothers, that's how your children are going to treat, you know, your mother. You know what I'm saying? So you treat your wife terrible in front of your kids are going to most likely do that. You know, if that's what they're taught to do. But, I listened to that. When I heard him say that, I thought that was interesting also, because I was like, all right, so, you know, he's learning different things from different people. Something that Tariq did. Hate to keep throwing it in there, but, I know
at this point we have to, because it's not just books anymore. It's a universe.
Yeah, it's a universe. Exactly. Like Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a universe. And I think it's actually, it could get that big, like, because I think that by the end of this season, like, we'll be able to connect so many dots. Like, I can't wait. I'm anticipating. We'll say that for the end of the episode, what we're anticipating. But,
yeah.
But you know, with 50 and his upbringing, seeing like even the family camaraderie part, you know, where they eat at a diner every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You notice that. So,
how did you feel about Jukebox? Because to me, I feel like we got so much of her character right now that I was like, okay, I need to figure out what happened to her.
I have an unpopular opinion about that.
Okay.
I think I do. I think it's unpopular. I don't know. The only reason why I say I think it's unpopular is purely based on how people received her in, you know, in power, the grown Jukebox.
Yeah.
I have to understand then, because he said he loved Jukebox harder than anybody he's ever
loved. Yeah, that's where I want to, like, I want to know what happened between
them. Do you kill her? How do you do it? How? That, you know, so that's my unpopular opinion, because I'm like, that's the one thing where I'm like, like, how did that happen then? Like, you telling us that you loved her. What did he say? He's like, I love her harder than any other person.
Anything. Now, I think right now with what you just said, you actually touched on something that I wanted to talk about. Because you remember he speaks about, so I'm going back to the boyfriend of his mom. I forgot his name. How he kind of like nibbled in there that, you know, in a year he's dead, he got burned alive. But he never said like, it didn't get like why he got burned alive. And they didn't even say it in the episode of who did it. And then when we cut to that hospital scene and you meet the big brother for the first time, he was in charge before. So I feel like something is going, because they're always going at each other. I know that's that brother-sister relationship. I feel, this is more like speculation at this point. I feel like the older brother, which is Jukebox's father, something is going to happen there to where now that whole question of killing Jukebox
Of why it answers, maybe it answers that. That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that, but you're right, because they said that Jukebox dad was used to be on the seat, right? He used to be on the throne. Yep. Remember, she was telling him off, and then she was just like, that's why you're not sitting here no more in this seat, you know, because you don't do well in this seat. So you're right. Maybe there's something that happens where we realize that, okay, you know, not like love is completely lost, but the loyalty, that's where the loyalty was lost. You know what I'm saying? So maybe we'll find that out. But that did catch me. I was like, okay, so if he loves her that much, why did he flip on her?
And to your point, I didn't even like, when he said that, I didn't know he was talking about Jukebox, because I was like,
crazy.
You know, like when he said Jukebox, I loved her harder than anyone, I was like, wait, whoa. Like, I felt exactly how you're feeling. So that, man, the story's going to get crazy to that.
Yeah.
You know, the story's going to get crazy to that.
It is.
What would you say was your favorite part so far that you saw in that episode?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, I liked...
I'll give you top three, because I know that's a hard question. I'll give you top three.
It's a hard question, but I mean, I have the answer, but I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding why I loved it so much. But and it's probably a part that people are going to be like, what? But I think when Kanan was literally having that camaraderie in the diner every Wednesday night, and he talked about that. I think it was a few things that happened in that scene. Number one, you know, they're having a great time, whatever, whatever, whatever. The mom clearly lets the audience know she's in charge.
Yeah.
Sit down, sure. I got it. I'll pay for it. His friend Famous, I think we're kind of misled into believing he's just this big goofball.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a bigger impact on this season than what I'm led to believe, what I think we're led to believe. And it's only because him coming into the fold like that, like you don't feed somebody at your table like that if they're not going to be part of it. And he was even with him. Now, he didn't pull the trigger when they killed that kid.
He would have, like, though. He would have if he had the piece.
Because remember, he was like, yo, like,
I ain't going out there yelling at them.
I ain't going back out there. So I'm interested in seeing that. But what I loved about it the most is, you know, besides everything that happened. Oh, and then remember his uncle likes the sister.
Yeah.
Famous's sister. But I think it completely humanized Kanan.
Yeah.
Because since we've known Kanan, we've just known him to be a cold bastard. Yeah. He killed his son, for crying out loud. You know, and
man, you know, before you continue, man, I am the only one that feels like Sean wasn't his son? I feel like Sean was more Ghost's son and Tariq was more Kanan's son.
I think you said that before. I think everybody said that before, you know what I'm saying? But you know,
I feel you. That's your boy.
But that's funny too, because Ghost wanted to raise Tariq the way that he brought up Sean, and Kanan came in and was raising Tariq the way he wanted to raise Sean. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I think that diner scene literally humanized Kanan. It made me look at him like, okay, this is really a kid. This is not a cold-hearted drug dealer yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yet. That's why I personally like the scene. Everything else that happened afterwards or before, it was like, okay, that's perfect. That's part of the storyline. But the family scene where they're at the diner, he said, yo, we do this every Wednesday since the day I remember. And they're laughing, they're talking. And yeah. I was like, dang, okay. I said, this is a kid. This is a teenager, you know? So that was my favorite scene personally.
So I'm gonna cheat. I'm gonna do the three, top three. And I'm gonna start with my third one, which is the last, you know, because I did like the whole episode a lot, but I'm going to do like third, you know, then second and my number one. Yeah. So my third, I would have to say, was that scene where he's in the cafeteria and he's talking about Famous and how he ripped that line and he like, that shit was whack, you know, the poem and everything. Because it's kind of to your point, how it showed the child in him. And
he's like, but that's my man, so.
Yeah. And not only that, it correlated to a lot of, and going back to how you said, you see the strings between him and Tariq a lot there. Because in a sense, that's what Tariq did. He even crushing on the girl, that's how he, you know, that's how Tariq was. You know, so that to me, that's my number three right there on that. You were going to say something about that?
No, I was just going to say, you know how Hollywood is. They you have to have a love interest.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, so they're going to throw that in there, you know, so, but I agree.
So my number two, and y'all are going to think I'm crazy for it, but I just, like how you said, I never saw it on TV before, and it just showed how ruthless his mom could be. That dog in the freaking microwave was my number two, man.
I never seen that before.
That was
different.
And not only that, you know, it's just the combination of how it would happen in the middle of that scene. Yeah. You know, she like you know, thinking crazy. She cheated on her so-called man or whatever. And then you smell it, you think the dog did doo-doo somewhere, but now the dog is doo-doo in the microwave.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
He's cooking. Yeah, he's cooking.
Well, when he gave Kanan's mom the collar, he said medium well.
Yeah.
That was crazy. But number one, so I said the cafeteria, the dog. Number one to me, man, was when Kanan made that move. To me, that's when I knew. I was like, yeah, this is Kanan. When he got his boys together, and then his boy came up and was like, yo, this dude's selling on your mom's corner. He's like, it was a very Kanan move for him to be like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he's there, but I'm gonna handle it. I'm gonna take over.
Ride on him.
Yeah,
you're gonna ride on him regardless.
Yeah, regardless. And I was like, that right there was like, there was a lot of other pieces that sealed it, but that to me, I was like, that is Kanan. That's the Kanan that we grow to love later in this series. You know, we get to see, you know, because I don't know about you, but Kanan has made so many mistakes off of just instincts.
Now, here's the other thing about that, too, is that we're seeing this the first time Kanan has something to lose, and it's his mom. You know what I'm saying? So remember, in Power, he had nothing to lose, not even his son. His son was expendable. Sean was expendable. He killed him. This the first time we're seeing Kanan, and I know he's a kid. I want to reiterate, we understand that he's a kid. So we're not going to see the heartless, ruthless, you know, cold-hearted guy just yet. We're not going to see it yet. We know that's building up to that, because remember, even at the end of the episode, he said, you know how my story ends.
Yeah.
You know, I just showed you how it began. Now I'm going to give you the middle, you know, because honestly, as much as you may think like, okay, well, he shot this kid for a block. That's again, to me, like more like a product of your environment. You know, somebody rides in and moves in on your money. Essentially, you got to take him out. You know what I'm saying? No matter how you do it. And even after he shot him, he was shocked that he shot him. And he was shocked how
he didn't know who shot him. He was like, did I do it?
Yeah, he wasn't sure. He's like, did I do it? Whatever.
Even when he grabbed the gun out of the bag, he saw his hand. He did the Kanan hands. He was like shaking a little bit.
Yep.
And you've never in your life seen Kanan do that before. That's crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. So I'm curious to see in the season where he shifts, or even if we see it this season, where he shifts to cold-hearted, ruthless Kanan. That's what I'm curious about.
Now we get kind of on the speculation side, start getting into it. So to what you just said about that, about his mother being the one to lose, and I'm going to do another line back to Tariq. Tariq didn't lose his mom, but in a sense, his mom ain't there anymore. He took that step and told her, you need to leave. Now, let's say, you know, all speculation, we don't know how it's going to turn out. Let's say Kanan loses his mom, you know, and then he has to, that's where that rivalry with Jukebox and his uncle maybe happens or something
that. Yeah, maybe.
Because there was a lot of close counters with his mom in this episode. I was nervous for his mother.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. And that's what the writers successfully did, because we were like, dang, like this is a woman with a sin, because we're not used to seeing.
Yeah.
You know, to me, Kanan's mom is definitely a much better than Mary J. Blige's character.
I didn't want to say it, bro.
I didn't want to say it, but it just had to be said. Like, she's way more believable than Mary J. Blige. I'm sorry, but she's
just herself. You just gotta be herself.
So, but my point is that, you know, we did see a bunch of close encounters, but then also remember with her brother, his uncle, Jukebox's dad.
Yeah.
I like that they established that he's loyal, and that because at first I thought it was like a power struggle between them at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I realized, no, this is just, he's just straight up, no matter what, he just shoots from the hip, you know what I mean, as they say. So that dynamic between them, Kanan understanding the code that they're using, Kanan being extremely smart, he's going to contribute a lot to his mom's business.
Yeah.
And that's a far cry from what we've seen with Tariq. And I hate to keep comparing it to, but it's just so close.
Yeah.
It's a lot of similarities, but it's a lot of differences too, because, you know, Kanan's mom was like, yo, all right, well, you want to be part of this game? You want to be in this game. Tariq's mom waited too long. And then finally was like, all right, well, you know, I'm going to teach you the game, teach you the game that your dad wouldn't teach you, but she ended up in jail. So I'm curious even how his mom is gonna, it's a lot of things. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see young Ghost and young, you know, Tommy. And
that was gonna be my next segue.
Know, that was more like the, that's, I know that's more like the end, but like, yo, I can't wait to see them, yo.
Here's my take on that, man. And I know everybody's going crazy, like, oh, you know, we wanna see young Ghost, you know, what happened? Where's he at? They were always so close. And here's my thing. I think we're going to actually see him midway through the season. We're going to meet him midway through this season.
Or even the end. What if they wait till the end? Because they already signed for season two.
It could be, but middle close to the end. But the reason I'm thinking that, though, and also on top of that, I don't think we're going to see much of them or know much of their background, because I feel like their roles are going to be how Kanan's role was in Power, where we knew about Kanan's story. We knew about what Kanan did or quote unquote did, but we're not going to know much about him. Why? Because me thinking like 50 Cent, 50 Cent is a very smart man.
He's like, yo, I want another arc.
Exactly. So he showed Power Universe. I see the next, you know, throwback show being the story of how Ghost got there. Because we don't know how his father died. We don't know how Ghost's father died. We don't know how certain things he got to where he got to. You know, that Tommy's mom raised both of them.
Right, right.
You know, we don't know.
This is what I'm hoping with this, with Kanan. I hope that, because, you know, the actor, Mekhi Curtis, he's young, so he's going to grow up.
Yeah.
I hope they really do. You know, remember how, like, Game of Thrones was, where you're watching these kids grow up?
Yeah.
I hope they do the same thing with raising Kanan, where literally, you know, we see him become a full-fledged man, which Mekhi will be in a few years, you know? And it's like, yo, you know, like, you know, he has his looks, he has his mature looks and everything else. And you really see that this is Kanan, you know?
And I'm starting to see, to your point, I'm going to cut you off, since he's so similar, he got the mannerisms down. I've been hearing, I know a lot of it's rumors, but, 50, he's on this bug where he just wants to create. And if he could be behind the camera instead of in front of it, he would do it. So I like, to your point, I see them doing something like that, to where like Mekhi would just take over that character in whole, and he will be the 50 that the Kanan we knew in old Power, you know?
Yeah, that would be nice, because then we get all the prequels in the world. Yeah. You know, because honestly, it's like you said, that was a fantastic point you made. I didn't even think about it like that, where we got Kanan, we understood where he came from, but we don't know the meat and potatoes, essentially, is what you're saying. So we're probably going to get Tommy. We're probably going to get Ghost. We'll probably get Tasha. We may or may not get Angela. But Angela, Tommy, they all grew up together.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get their backgrounds knowing what's coming, but we won't get the meat and potatoes. So I don't know. I'm curious about that, but I can't wait to see. And really, I know you're saying mid-season. The only reason why I don't expect it so soon is because it's like you said, 50's smart. Like, yo, I gotta wring this washcloth out, you know, get as much water out of it as I can, and then hit them with it, like, boom, here they are. And it's like, dang. And I don't think they will, like, just take over to the
point. I agree with you. I can see a season finale. I can see a season finale, at least introducing them. Then second season, just
something to leave us off with. But I'll tell you what, because it was 10 episodes, I can't wait. Like, you know, I can't wait to see what's next next week, and, you know, even beyond, because it's like, this is completely different than, because remember, Power Book, was it 2? Was a continuation. This is a prequel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this is way different. And then apparently we're getting more Power this year.
Yeah, after this season, right in November, we get Tariq. And then in 2022, we get Tommy's show. But that's current Tommy, not prequel Tommy.
Right.
So that is also a after. So that's an after. You know, it's just wild.
And knowing 50, he's just gonna bring it all together at the end. I mean, literally, he could really do this like Marvel, like just give everybody a bunch of different pieces to the puzzle, and then just one more season of just Power, and then it's every story coming together. Because even I'm curious, I know we're getting off topic, but I'm curious about Proctor's daughter, how she comes of age and gets pissed off. Because remember Tommy told her, he said, yo, you gotta come after me. Later, I understand. He's like, straight up, I understand.
I wouldn't be surprised if she starts helping the aunt run the organization that
yeah,
she
I remember
was
you had said that before, and I agree. I completely agree. You know, because she's gonna learn the game and everything else.
And honestly, I think Proctor kind of told her little bits because he was straight up where he was like, "Daddy's not coming home."
Yeah.
You know, like he was straight up. So she probably knows.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting thing you just mentioned there, man. Tariq, I didn't even think about her.
Yeah, Tariq. see, Tariq, we're seeing him now. But I can't wait to see what he does. You know,
I think we're gonna get a ruthless Tariq next season.
Yeah, yeah. Oh well, I mean, already he killed his teacher for.
No, yeah. Oh man, that was
I was like, oh, okay. I said, this is what I've been waiting for. But
that guy needed to go anyways.
Yeah, he kind of needed to go. Yeah.
No, not kind of. He needed to go.
Besides the basketball, I would have liked to see the basketball player go first because that he was just. I'm just like. Yeah, he's like, I think I'm just tell. Like, what? What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Like you didn't just grow up in the game. Like, you didn't know your family was
hoops.
Yeah, like, what are you doing?
But I think 50. Like I said, this solidified to me that 50 is a creative genius. The hype around it is real, but the hype, you know, it met the hype in my opinion. I think the casting was great. I am very curious about how Kanan gets involved with like the cops, because that Omar Epps detective, I knew he was a dirty cop the moment he got out the
I mean,
car.
Yeah, he always played that role, bro.
Yeah, y'all, always, like, bro. Oh, here we go. I'm like, here we go. But I'm about to throw a conspiracy theory at you, kind of conspiracy, but one of those speculations. I think the bartender is undercover.
Oh, 100%. We didn't even touch on that. 100%. You hit that on the nail. I think he is. Because he was just, it wasn't even that he was just too smooth, but he was just too like.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, I don't mean to make dude sound like an asshole, but he was too invested. Like,
exactly.
All of us, like that.
Exactly.
You are sleazy. And, you know, it could
I'm
be
like,
just.
You know, I'm like, yeah.
This generation, but come on. Now.
Like, all right, his mom, all right, but she not all that. Like, you just throwing it, you just throwing yourself out there. You
like
vulnerable.
That?
Yeah, like took her out on a date?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that was so weird. So I'm like, you gotta be an undercover.
Yeah.
You gotta be an undercover.
Because, I mean, like, to be real, like, and no disrespect, but I mean, like, I don't even want to say what I'm going to say, but
I'm not because listen, I'm not saying the woman that playing Kanan's mom is ugly. I don't.
Oh yeah, not at all, not at all.
But what I'm saying is that
like the white girl like, should have got that. You know what I'm saying?
Or not even just not that, but it's just well, no, you know what? You make a good point because it's like, you know, what attracted you to her?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That you work in a high class bar. What attracts you to her? A mom from the street, as opposed to somebody that's in the club and getting money. And all, you know what I'm saying? It didn't make sense to me, you know?
And he knew because she said, the white girl said, this dude mentioned you're the one who's selling your dope through here. So he knew.
Yeah.
And then that's when all of a sudden he was like, really in there trying to figure out like, yo, let me take you out. Let me get to know you.
Or didn't know, like maybe he's leading on that he didn't know. Because remember even at dinner, she was like, you know, about her lifestyle is very, you know, different than what he may be used to. And, you know, he's just sitting there taking her out to dinner. I said, this is random. I'm like, and I'm like, if it's random, there is something specific I'm missing. And that's when I was like, I mean, from the beginning, the moment he poured her a drink and everything else and said what he said and threw that line at her, I'm like, you a cop. You gotta be a cop.
Yeah, it felt that way.
It felt that way. And I could be 100% wrong,
yeah.
But I just think he's an undercover. I just do. I don't see any other. Now, people might say, why would he be an undercover at a club, at a nightclub that she doesn't frequent? But
She does business there.
And you know?
they're obviously willy-nilly about it. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
They be saying it out loud.
Yeah, so we'll see. You know, he kind of, he kind of got me suspicious. I'm like, all right, for I think you a cop, bro. But for we'll see.
I guess the next thing I could say, so this is a little bit going back to, and I know we keep on tying in Tariq's storyline, but so the way I'm seeing is this series is going to definitely be, and we kind of touched on it, the start of the Empire of Power. You understand? Like the start of how everything, you know, came to be, the business-wise. And with Tariq's, I see that it... So how power ended, it exploded. The business exploded. It pretty much was made to nothing.
Different fragments.
Exactly. Yeah. Now with Tariq's storyline, I'm seeing the same buildup to now maybe he's going to become that legendary Kanan business-wise, is what I'm saying. Is like it's almost like a whole new arc, and which it is, but like a whole new – I don't know how to put it into words, but like it's the start of this. It's almost like rinse, repeat, continue, you know, and that's what's happening. The story is starting up again, but in the new generation.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think that I'm actually a little iffy about that. The only reason why I say it like that is that I actually see your perspective 100%.
Yeah.
I just think that, and maybe just because I haven't seen it yet, or we haven't seen it yet, but I'm like, is Tariq really built the same?
Mm.
Where he's going to be Ghost, you know, or be his own Ghost. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm a little iffy with. I mean, it could happen with exactly what you're saying. I think it's more likely that happens than not, but it's something about it where I'm just like, he has to find a way out because he's not one of those product of your environment things. He grew up in an affluent house, went to a school and everything else. And really his sister being killed was his trigger, you know, where he went and exacted revenge, you know, killed Ray Ray, you know. And then after that, now he's like, yo, like, all right, this is who I am. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, you see, I would have agreed with you. I would have agreed with you 100%. But I feel like with how this last season, and I know we jumped onto the Tariq storyline, but how his season ended, he kind of put himself in that environment to become that person. You understand? So that's now he has no choice right now.
That's what I'm saying. But that's the difference between him and Kanan.
Yeah. Kanan
is in it. Like, he was born in it.
Yeah.
You know, what did you about to laugh because you're a DC fan. What did Bane tell Batman when Batman turned the lights off? He's like, oh, you merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
Yeah, no, you're right though.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
That's Tariq. Tariq adopted, you know, this lifestyle. Kanan was born and raised and bred in.
I guess in a sense, the reason why I said it too is because of the choice that he made. Because he had the choice to
leave. Choices, right?
And he just chose, I'm a Christmas tree, this test. Which, how many of us started laughing when you saw that? Because he was like, I've done that in a couple tests.
I laughed so hard at that, because I was like, I definitely Christmas treated it before. Yeah. You know, he's like, let's just hope for the best, the luck of the draw. I thought that was hilarious.
So I kind of want to end it on one of the big questions that, you know, was very big during the Power season, that it was so big that they had to change it back to the original, which is the intro music. Oh, I don't know about you. I loved this intro. It was the perfect prequel intro ever.
Yeah, I heard it when 50 released it. What was it, like a month ago? And I think it was like a little music, or maybe it was just a snippet, but I heard it and I was like, yo, this is, it was dope to me. I love the feel of it. Cause it felt like 90s, 2000, you know what I mean?
And had that vibe. Even the correlations, it was the same like movement, but it was different things. Like the guns were older, you know, you could feel that it was a Kanan story happening, not a ghost story.
I'm right about that. Yeah, even down to the attire, like Kanan's character, young Kanan was wearing a jean jacket, for crying out loud. When was the last time we seen that? You know, but I really, I love the music, yo. The music was dope. 50 is just, I think 50 is one of those artists where he's just in the upper echelon, where literally he, whatever he puts his hands on in the studio is gold. Like, just, he's one of my favorites. I think he's an underrated lyricist. I've said that before.
Oh, I agree with you 100% on that, man.
I think he's an underrated lyricist. He's the one that kind of really, like, Pac and Biggie, they definitely bought like street stuff. And it was not just those two, but they bought streets to, you know, because you had NWA that did the same thing too. 50 got shot 9 times.
50, survived. Yeah, rap went with his mouth like this.
I mean, Tupac got shot too now, but 50 was in the drug game like for real, for real. Like Curtis Jackson. Was a
in case 50 seasons, yo, 50, don't come at me. I plead the fifth. I don't know what he's talking about, 50. I'm on your side, 50.
You can Google this stuff, yo.
Oh, shit. But, like, all speculations.
His own hood. Like, I remember I was watching this little docu-series they had about 50's old hood, and 50's, like, some of the people that he used to roll with, they were like, yo, they were like, he was real, yo. They were like, bro, when there was hands to be thrown, he was front and center. He didn't send his goons to go throw their hands. He said, no, I'm going to go do it. You know what I'm saying? So they like, 50 was really like that back in the day, you know? So when he came out with music, it kind of made it popular. I remember there were principals. Yo, I remember this because we had a friend of the family that was a principal up in East Orange. He hated 50. Oh my God, he hated 50 Cent because all of his students, that's all they did was quote 50. They all wore do-rags because 50 did it. They all walked around in wife beaters because 50 did it. They all rapped that gangsta music because 50 did it. So 50 to me is like a cultural, he could be considered a cultural icon because he literally just, he immersed himself in the culture so much. He got this story. And I love his transition because he got this story. You know what I mean? Went to jail, shot 9 times. Then he became a rapper. Yeah. And then entrepreneur shortly after that, you know, started putting his own artists together, signing artists. And then he's in TV programming where he has, like, how many people could say they got a show where it's no holds barred on Stars? And then it's, okay, we got to temper a little bit on ABC, you know what I mean? We got to do like a little better, you know? So he got so much going on. It's crazy. He's a mogul, man. Like, the dude is an entertainment mogul. That's how I characterize the guy.
Yeah, man. 50 is a legend. And I feel like the way he's going about it, it's going to get to the point to where people are just going to have to, like, give him his props.
He got, like, they have to, exactly.
Like, there's no... If fans are both about it, man.
It's
you gotta
unavoidable. Get it's unavoidable because you're right. It's going to be unavoidable because he's too talented. His actors are very talented. Whoever his casting director is, probably needs their own. 50 probably needs to buy them a car because every single power, the casting
is on the money, man.
And even I'll still even though I think she's just okay, I'll still even give props to Mary J. Blige.
She worked for that
she's
role.
Still working, and she's still working. You know what I'm saying? So I'll give it. Even though I think she's probably one of the weaker actors, I'm like, okay, she does just enough.
Yeah,
but. Dang, yo, like, I wish
you know something that I think, and with time of thinking about it with the Mary J. character, what 50 did on that, I think it was smart because now not only are you bringing the people who are power, who are a big fan of power, now you're bringing in all the old heads that they're hearing all these kids of this generation talk about power. What's power? Then you throw Mary J. and she like, Mary J., I used to bump Mary J. back in the day, you know? Then you go, you're gonna go see. It's been forever since you see Mary J. do anything, really. Good you know, you're coming in, so you're bringing them old heads into this. And now that we in the 1990s in Raising Canaan, oh man.
Good point. That's a really good point. I didn't think about it like that, but that's a really good point. Really good point. Either way, I think that 50 is just giving us more gold. I can't wait to see what else happens.
Yeah, man. Well, guys, that is what we got for you today, man. Power, the Power Universe, man. I'm just happy it's back. And then
how are you?
On top of that, man, like knowing that it's this show happening and the next one, it's I think you mentioned it when we were doing the Power Book 2 podcast, how he's setting it up to it could be like power is gonna be on always. There's never not gonna be power. Yeah. There may be a month where we go on a little hiatus, but there's always going to be something of power going on.
Months. Yeah.
You know, or a few months. It's going to be the cinematic universe of stars, you know? So, man, I had a great time. You know, I hope you had a great time. I hope you're coming back, you know, next week, you know? But, yeah, guys. So, guys, so real quick, go follow me on the Real Talk with CeeLo podcast on Instagram. All these live videos, we're going to be doing them each podcast now, and we're going to put it on Instagram TV. There's going to be little snippets in the account where you're going to see, but you're going to get to actually get this full video on Instagram TV. And then for those of you who listen to podcasts while you're at work, it's going to be on Anchor. It's going to be on Apple Podcasts. So you're going to get the best of both worlds. If you want to see our beautiful faces, excuse my crazy beard, but if you want to see our beautiful faces, you're going to definitely get the chance to do it on Instagram. But if you want to hear it while you're at work and you grind and you just want to hear something cool, here you go. You're going to have your Apple Podcast and you're going to have your Anchor. So go check those out. Once I post it, I'll put all the links and all that stuff. AJ, go with your hashtags and all your good stuff and got coming on.
Yeah, of course, man. AJ underscore SMG underscore. Yo, I need everybody to stream. Go on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, yo. Stream that new Sean Patrick album, yo. Sean Patrick, just type in his name. He just released an EP. Yo, I put my heart and soul into it. He put his heart and soul into it. I'm actually an executive producer on that album. It's my first executive producer credit, and it was difficult to do it from out here and doing it down there while I was transitioning to moving from Florida to New Jersey, but man, like the feedback has been unreal. He's already over 100,000 streams. It's absolutely insane what we've been able to do. He's releasing music videos and everything else. His reputation is gaining a lot of traction. And even with me too, people reaching out to me like, yo, like, are you able to do XYZ? So, you know, it's crazy the job that I work. You know, I just want to tell anybody that has a passion, that has a dream, you always make sure you have something to fall back on. Yes. You know, but make time for your passion, man, because if you do not do it, yo, you would just be spinning your wheels. You'll just be on the outside looking in. And that's something that I never wanted to do, you know, is be on the outside looking in. I like to be in the thick of it, you know, but I'm super grateful for the opportunity I have right now, you know, working. But music is my passion and I'm never giving up on music ever. That's just not an option. So I'm happy that this EP came out when it did, because literally I was able to listen to it over again and I was like, dang, like this is dope, you know? So Sean Patrick, go stream his most recent EP. It's on Apple Music, Spotify. We got music videos coming out still. And be on the lookout for some collabs. Me and him have been talking. You know, we want to shoot a music video together. We want to shoot a song. We did a song together before I even moved called Flaunt. We've been talking about
fire.
What we're going to do with that.
Straight fire.
So we're going to, you know, we'll see what's going on. But I appreciate the space. Yo, add me, AJ underscore SMG underscore on IG. Yo, that's it. That's all I got for you, man.
Hey, man, look, I'm going to just come out and say it. These two are the best in the business right now, man, and that's from personal, you know, hearing
y'all,
it.
Coming for it, yo. We coming for y'all heads, man.
Y'all need to be ready. Y'all need to be ready for these two, because I see that 50 potential of creativity. I
Talking
see
about,
it.
bro. That's what I'm talking.
But without further ado, guys, we're gonna go ahead and get out of here, man. Thank you for coming in and, hanging out with us. And I hope y'all are excited as we are that power is finally back. Thank goodness.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Have a good night, and I'll see you next week. Peace.